Thanks, 10-4.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. You're tuned to This Week in Radio News. I'm Tom Rowe in the Wave Farm Study Center in upstate New York. John Brodkin in Ars Technica reports that FCC Commissioners Michael O'Reilly and Jessica Rosenworkel rarely agree on anything. The Republican and the Democrat on the commission are about as far apart on most issues as two people could be. But the two wrote an op-ed together in The Hill on February 9th, complaining about states stealing money meant to support emergency calling services to put into their general funds. On everyone's phone bills, there is a line item for 911 service, and those funds are meant to keep those emergency services running. But in 2016, New Mexico, Rhode Island, Illinois, New Jersey, and West Virginia diverted 911 funds totaling $128.9 million to their own uses. Seven other states wouldn't even tell the FCC what they are doing with the money. New York, for instance, did not submit a report about the matter to the FCC, quote, but sufficient public record information exists to support a finding that New York diverted funds for non-public safety uses, unquote, according to the FCC. Besides lying to consumers, diverting 911 fees can, quote, can be tragic, unquote, the two FCC commissioners wrote, quote, it can lead to understaffed calling centers, longer wait times in an emergency, and sluggish dispatch for public safety personnel. It will also slow the ability of 911 call centers to update their systems to support digital age technologies, unquote. O'Reilly and Rosenworkel proposed threatening states that divert 911 funds with loss of federal public safety program funding. Quote, we also may need to examine more aggressive actions at the FCC's disposal, unquote, they wrote. Ernesto Aguilar, the membership program director of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, writes in Radio World about how the Federal Communications Commission is considering increasing the power of Class A FM radio stations. Class A stations are currently limited to 6 kilowatts of effective radiated power and antenna towers of only 100 meters in height. The new proposal could double the wattage to 12 kilowatts. Aguilera worries that these new Class C4 stations could interfere with low-power FM stations, but those could also get a power boost. There is some discussion, Aguilera writes, that the ceiling for low-power FM stations could rise from 100 watts to 250 watts. Hopefully, the FCC will conduct a deliberative, thorough public hearing process before adopting any new power levels on the FM dial. John Brodkin reports at Ars Technica that the infrastructure plan the Trump administration unveiled February 12th does not include any money specifically for broadband internet. The 10-year plan for, quote, rebuilding infrastructure in America, unquote, doesn't include much federal money for anything, leaving most spending up to the states. But the plan's $50 billion rural infrastructure program does list broadband as one of five categories where governors can spend their money. Rural broadband facilities would also be eligible for private activity bonds, so private projects could, quote, benefit from lower financing costs of tax-exempt municipal bonds, unquote. The plan would also let carriers install small cells and Wi-Fi attachments without the same environmental and historical preservation reviews required for large towers, according to Ars Technica. A report from the Federal Communications Commission says it would take $40 billion in broadband funding to raise broadband availability from 86% to 98% of the country. David Oxenford at the Broadcast Law blog reports that as of March 1st, all full-power commercial and non-commercial radio stations will have to post online their public files. This means the public will now have access to every full-power radio station's pending applications, ownership reports, and a contour map showing the station coverage. Previously, the public files were mandated to be made available at the station's studios, but since the main studio rule was lifted, they're now mandated to be online. Stations with five or more full-time employees must upload all of their annual EEO public inspection file reports, and stations must upload all their quarterly issues programs, showing that stations met the needs and interests of its community of license, and new political file documents showing interviews or interactions with political officials. While many radio stations find this extra work a pain, these documents do provide more transparency about station operations. The New York Times reports that the Office of Federal Communications Commission's Inspector General is now investigating FCC Chairman Ajit Pai's handling of deregulation over the past year that favors Sinclair Broadcasting. In April 2017, PI led efforts for the FCC to change rules about the number of stations television broadcasters may own. A few weeks after that change was made, Sinclair Broadcasting announced a $3.9 billion deal to buy Tribune Media, which would not have been allowed under the old rules. Representative Frank Pallone of New Jersey told the paper that PI is now under investigation by the nonpartisan FCC Inspector General's office. Quote, "For months I have been trying to get to the bottom of the allegations about Chairman Pai's relationship with Sinclair Broadcasting," unquote, Pallone said in a statement to the New York Times. Quote, "I am grateful to the FCC's Inspector General that he has decided to take up this important investigation," unquote. The FCC Inspector General's office said it would, quote, "not comment on the existence or the non-existence of an investigation," unquote. PI's office and the Sinclair Broadcasting officials declined to comment. In the past, though, Sinclair's chief executive, Chris Ripley, has said that PI's relaxation of media ownership rules is a, quote, "landmark," unquote, development for his company. The Sinclair and Tribune merger would create the nation's biggest television broadcaster, reaching 7 out of 10 American homes. Public interest advocates have said the proposed merger would reduce the number of voices in media and change the coverage of local news. Already, Sinclair Broadcasting, which owns the CBS and CW affiliates in Albany, New York, injects conservative views into its local news programs. The New York Times has previously reported that PI met and spoke with Sinclair representatives several times before announcing the new media ownership rules. A March 2017 story in the New York Post said President Donald Trump met with Sinclair's executive chairman, David Smith, and discussed FCC rules. Quote, "The FCC and Justice Department are widely expected to approve the merger in the coming weeks," unquote, the New York Times story said. I'm Tom Rowe reporting for Standing Wave Radio and WGXC.